This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do this. We are here in West Palm Beach. We're excited to be here. Academy Sports and Outdoors, Exclusive Furniture, getting us here. We thank them for that. It's been a good month, man. First New Orleans at the beginning of the month, West Palm Beach, the end of the month. This is fun.
Where are we going next month?
Yeah, where are we going?
The Parker, draft?
Where are we going next month? Where are we going, Dad?
Do we get to go to Indianapolis?
Yeah.
God, I hope not.
No. Draft is in Green.
Airborne syphilis. That's what they've got going on up there now.
Green Bay this year, right? The draft?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, draft.
Get it done, Parker.
Yeah.
What do you even do for this company?
Go work on that.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a very different spring training than the one we were at 2 years ago, as we pointed out a few times. See, 2 years ago, they're coming off a World Series championship.
I remember that.
This year, they're coming off a sweep at the hands of the Detroit Tigers in the wild card round.
I barely remember that.
In the wild card. We're coming off a season in which they actually played in the wild card
round. I know.
Like, we're not used to that.
I always thought that was just a myth.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a...
It exists.
That was real?
Yeah.
Okay.
They really have a wild card round.
But I've taken the offseason to adapt and adjust, and I'm actually genuinely more excited in some respects than I have been in a long time about an Astros spring training.
Okay, so let's start there. The three things you are most excited about.
This one that I had moved from extreme skepticism to now I'm genuinely excited about is seeing Jose Altuve in left field.
I am too.
Right. And listen, look, there have been short outfielders before. Tony Kemp is short. There you go. Point proven. But I'm not worried about that. What?
I'm convinced. You got me sold. I don't. Yeah, I'm laughing at how easy it was.
No, I do think that if you look at Altuve, and it's really since the shift was banned, especially that coincided with Altuve getting older, and it's become harder and harder for him to play at second base.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited about him extending his career the same way they did with Biggio before him, and Biggio did it 2 years later than Altuve is doing it now. The thing that makes me a little bit nervous is the concessions they're already making because Altuve is going to be in left field.
Oh, tell me.
Oh, well, hey, don't worry about it. We got Jake Meyers in center field, who's one of the rangiest guys in the league. We're like, well, yeah, but I just so if it's Jake Meyers, if he has to play center field because you got to protect Altuve,
yeah.
Like, okay, can we at least make him bat above 150? And then the other is what we saw last week, which is, hey, no big deal. Jerry Peña just sets up deeper in the outfield for the relay throws because Altuve's arm isn't
throw
that
it
strong.
Longer,
yeah. So we're two ifs into this already. Peña's, where I'm starting to get a little bit nervous.
Peña's going
to
wind up getting Tommy John surgery because the throws to the plate are too far.
I think, I want to see how this affects Altuve, and I'm genuinely excited about
this. This is the part that is intriguing to me. Yeah. Is that part of why they're talking about moving Altuve to left field? From what I've heard. Maybe it's speculation, maybe it's actual reports, is that they hope it's less taxing on him than second base.
Oh, for sure.
I okay, I'm curious about that. Like, I know there's a lot of standing around in the outfield.
Yeah.
But like there's a lot of times you're doing a lot of sprinting.
You're running, yeah, some hardcore.
I'm just
sprinting.
Curious about the sports science behind that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like someone that actually justifies that. Explain it to me like I'm an eighth grader.
Well, the actual total number of times you're involved in the action, and then the number of throws you have to make.
Yeah.
I think that's where I look at the positive side of it is, hey, he's got to adjust his throwing motion somewhat and, you know, be able to get some distance on his throws and throw more over the top, but it's not as many times per game. Having a rangy Jake Myers does help,
yeah,
as much as I hate, like, relying on having to have Jake Myers out there.
Well, you're
and
not
then especially if you're in Minute Maid Park, it's not as much running.
You're not in harm's way at second base either, turning double plays,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. I mean, that's gotten less dicey as they've kind of tweaked things, so you can't just barrel into guys and whatnot. But
other thing that I'm genuinely excited about, Cam Smith.
Cam Smith, me too.
The
yes.
actual appearance of Cam Smith, does he show up in the majors this year? I'm excited to watch him this week.
Okay.
And the one reservation I have about Cam Smith is in Brian McTaggart's article this weekend. It was either him or Matt Kawahara.
No, I'm looking at the article. It's McTaggart.
Cam Smith's favorite player is Yasiel Puig. Basically idolized him as a youth. Cam Smith is very, very energetic. I hope this is some tamped down version of Yasiel Puig. I don't need to see no stinking bat licking.
No.
Okay, Cam Smith?
No.
Please try to emulate the energy of Yasiel Puig, but not the extreme weirdness.
Okay, let me read the quote and see if this quells your concerns or fuels your concerns. This is Cam Smith talking about Yasiel Puig, former Dodgers nutjob. quote, I wouldn't point out tools or anything because everybody's got that. But when a big moment comes up, I like to let my energy out and let out that roar. I'm an advocate of that, showing those emotions. I would say that's the difference in my game.
Okay, good.
End quote.
Okay. Yeah. He's emotional, and he lets it show. We like that.
Channel it properly. He's living with his parents right now, you know.
Yeah, like 20 minutes south of here.
Yeah, he was really excited to get traded to the Astros because his folks can come see him play in spring training. I'm like, you know, the rest of the year you're going to be in Houston.
I wonder if they still haze him at his house, though. Like, if they're going to have to clear it with his parents first and then maybe just barge in at 4 a.m. and shave his head or something. I don't
know. Or they toilet paper his parents' trees.
Yeah.
Soap their windows.
You gotta clear it with the parents first, though, too. You might get shot.
That's true.
That's the real hazard of
it. So you're excited to see Cam
Smith? I'm excited to see Cam Smith.
So Altuve in left field,
yep.
Cam Smith, the civilized Yasiel Puig.
Yep.
And then we've talked about the third one.
John Singleton is yoked. If
jacked
you're just waking
up
right now, then you've missed the first hour and a half of John Singleton's workout.
Jacked up Johnny.
Because no sarcasm. He's been working out 3 to 4 hours per day.
Yep.
And usually people say that, and you're like, all right, you sat around and stretched and watched TV. He looks like he's been getting after it in the offseason. And the
different.
Astros players are saying, man, you really see his routine in the morning. He limited his carbs. He's monitoring his calories. And he lost 25 pounds, and he looks really good. Lost 25 pounds, but he's the strongest he's ever been in the weight room.
Limiting your carbs when you've had carbs all those many years. Not easy to do,
It looks like he's enjoyed some carbs through the years.
Through the years, it looks like he has.
Especially when you go through a phase of your life where you can't stop smoking weed.
Yes.
You definitely have been taking in some carbs.
The carbs come with that, man.
Just if 50% of your calories are 7-Eleven at that point.
Damn right.
Yeah, so maintaining it, and as listeners pointed out earlier, okay, is that going to improve his eye? Hopefully, theoretically, if he can just be a little bit more fluid and it helps his bat speed and he can just wait on the ball a little bit more, maybe it does help his eye. And look, you signed a gold glover first baseman. You're not going to worry about having to roll John Singleton out there at first. He can just focus on being a pinch hitter.
Oh, yeah, no, Singleton's avenue to making this team is as a role player, is a pinch hitter, a lefty bat off the bench for sure. All right, so those are three things you're legitimately amped up about. Okay, now three things you're intrigued by.
Okay, intrigued because I don't know whether you get excited about it or not.
Okay.
But a combination of Paredes and his famous plate discipline. Last year he took more strikes that were balls than anybody
screwed,
in baseball.
He got screwed by the umps more than anybody in baseball.
He had more called strikes that were actually balls more than anybody else in baseball.
I'm sure him getting on the Astros will rectify that. Nobody hates the Astros.
Well, he's going to be a replacement for Bregman in that regard.
Yeah,
you know, when Bregman would look back at the ump, and you know for sure, like, Bregman 99% of the time
he's
was more correct than the ump.
Yep.
But we're seeing the automated strike zone in some of these spring training games.
Do we know which ones yet?
It's not in any of the Cacti Park ones because they don't have the capabilities, but it's Robert Ford had said it was at some of the away games for the Astros,
okay.
So we'll check for this week.
Hopefully, we're only going to one away game. It's on Thursday at Port St. Lucie. They're playing the Mets.
I think the Mets are one of them.
Okay,
so we might see it. So this is the way it works, kids. You get two challenges per game. If you're successful, if you challenge a call and you're successful, you get that challenge back.
Yeah.
But the way that most teams are operating is, because this is the other part that operates. The manager is not allowed to call it. It has to be called within a couple of seconds after the pitch crosses the plate. And the challenge can only come from the catcher, the batter, or the pitcher.
Okay.
And most teams prefer that the catcher be the guy that's making the call. They don't want pitchers making the call.
Yeah.
Because pitchers are always convinced they got screwed when the catcher allowed
it. Dude, Framber would use them both in the first inning.
Yeah. So
you only get two total, either offensively or defensively.
I believe so, And as long as but if you're successful, then you get that challenge back.
Yeah.
So you could keep going. Multiple, if you got a really crappy ump.
You get two wrong challenges, basically.
So you're going to, I would imagine certain batters, they definitely don't want making the call.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, if you were Joe Espada, like, I think this is something you have to have rules on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, my first rule would be, I'm only doing this if it's a third strike. I'm not doing it on strike one or strike two.
Yeah.
I'm only doing it on if it's causing an out.
I would say, but if it's something egregious, maybe. And you don't want your guys thinking about it too much. The guys in AAA have already seen this, but for a lot of the major league guys, they've never seen it. You don't think even, what about Paredes? So Paredes got a really good eye, and he knows for sure he got hosed.
I think I'd keep it just at two strikes because I think the emotion can get fueled while you're in that batter's box or whatever, man. You end up using – I don't know. Because, strike three is high leverage. That's an out.
Yeah.
If they screw up a call on strike one or strike two, you still have a chance to make something out of the at-bat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, for me, I would say I would only do it on a third strike. And offensively, I would have a very specific list of guys who are allowed to – because it's so bang-bang like you're talking about. Like, I would have a, like, Yordan would be allowed to do it. Altuve, boy, I don't even know about Altuve. Altuve's so wacky sometimes with what he chases and whatnot. Like, I don't know how great his eye is.
Does Altuve actually know
how great his eye is? Yeah,
Altuve
might not be on that list, honestly. Yeah. Yordan would for sure. I guess Paredes would be, even though I've never watched him as an Astro yet. And then probably a couple, like, if Bregman were still here, he would be on that list for sure. But I do think, because the decision needs to be made so quickly, you've got to take it out of the hands of certain guys. You know what I mean?
Well, then the other question, too, is I've seen a lot of people say, well, hey, if they bring in the automated strike zone in 2026, then Yiner Diaz's pitch framing won't be as much of an issue, which I don't. The fact that it's a challenge system, the pitch framing still totally and definitely matters because you're trying to fool the ump. And if it's a borderline call, the batter's not going to call it if it's borderline. So I think pitch framing is still going to be a thing. Maybe it doesn't hurt you quite as much.
Yeah.
But Yiner's got to continue to improve his pitch framing.
All right, so Paredes' discipline in the automated strike zone, intrigued by. What's number two intrigued by?
The combination of Bryce Matthews and Zach DiCenzo.
Yeah.
That those two guys that showed a lot of promise, but also showed a lot of needing to understand what Major League Baseball is about. They both did a good job of walking, but struck out a boatload. They both spent time in the offseason in Puerto Rico. There's nothing but positive reports about them. But these are guys that are in DiCenzo moving to the outfield is making kind of a big transition.
Yeah.
Bryce Matthews, who in college had been mostly on the left side, playing shortstop and third base. He's played second base before, but it's a bit of an adjustment for him.
Yeah.
One of those two guys we're probably going to see a bunch of this year. And I'm very intrigued by them this
year. Well, and they also, I guess, are sort of lead-ins to your third thing here.
Yeah.
Which is the potential Arenado trade. And I say that because who knows if you're trading for Nolan Arenado, who knows who's Bryce Matthews or DiCenzo or any number of other guys could be on their way to St. Louis as part of
the deal. Yeah, and Arenado, like, seriously, get this stick out of your butt and stop being so choosy about where you go.
It is weird. This is the first time I can remember in a long time that a prominent player would not want to come to the Houston Astros. You know what I mean? Like, it's even in the wake of the sign-stealing scandal, they were still able to get guys to come here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's interesting. I like, maybe he was just waiting on a better opportunity. So for those who don't know the timeline, the first time that they thought they had a deal lined up for Nolan Arenado, he exercised his no trade clause and said no to coming here because it was right after the Kyle Tucker trade. And he was fearful that this might be a team that is more going in a rebuild direction than competing for a World Series championship. Since then, they've signed Christian Walker, and you know they've clearly hung in the Bregman sweepstakes till the, at least they said they did, until the very end. They made a competitive offer to Alex Bregman. They're definitely not operating like a team that's rebuilding. Now, they are operating like a team that's kind of trying to get its house in order and clean some things up.
Yeah, who was the pitcher back in 2016 that invoked his no trade? With Hamels?
Cole Hamels.
Yeah, Cole Hamels wanted to go to Texas instead of Dallas, or instead of Houston.
Yeah.
Was it 2016? It was before the Astros genuinely established themselves.
It was definitely before the World Series championship.
Yeah, that's the biggest one that sticks out in my mind as a guy that just flat out said, nah, not Houston.
Yeah.
I know his wife was from Dallas or whatever, but
I mean, Verlander was about to the first time, and then Dallas Keuchel sold him on coming here, reportedly.
Part of that was also that they, you know what, you're right, though, because that was 2017 before the Astros were the Astros.
They had won the World Series.
And they'd kind of just been hovering there, hadn't made any moves at the trade deadline, and Houston was underwater at the time.
Yes,
too.
Yes. That'd be fun if an Arenado trade came down while we were here.
Yeah.
That would be a scurrying down to the clubhouse to go get a lot of thoughts from people. That'd be good. But I think just the mere fact that they're in on Arenado, that they're re-engaged there, tells me that Altuve's future is in left field for this team.
It just feels like everything the team is
Paredes
saying.
Paredes would go to second.
Everything they're doing is different than everything they're saying. They're saying they're not quite sure, but man, they're also saying it's a flat-out open competition to see who gets to start at second base, basically.
Yeah.
They're not saying starting, but I think somebody's going to be at second base other than Altuve.
All right, so you got the three things that you're amped up about: Altuve in left field, Cam Smith, Yoke John Singleton. Three things Seth is intrigued by: Paredes, plate discipline, seeing with how that plays out, automated strike zone, Bryce Matthews and DiCenzo, their offseason, the younger guys, and then the potential Arenado trade. All right.
Yeah. This is what depressed me.
Three things you're depressed
this
about.
This is what I'm depressed about. This was
Tell me, Seth.
This is a dagger to
the
my
doctor
chest.
Is in.
As I try to figure out ways to hate Alex Bregman, which has been harder than I thought it would be. Usually it's right there, bubbling underneath the surface. I can dip my finger into the water of the hatred at any point.
It up, yeah.
And I've really been having a hard time working it up with to hate Alex Bregman. And I felt like I was getting there. And then I read this weekend, this was in a Matt Kawahara piece, I believe, about DiCenzo and his offseason and all the things he did to work on his swing. But that also last year, he and Bregman used to sit at the computer together breaking down the mechanics, and Bregman was helping him with taking a little less of a kick step and all this stuff. Bregman, who sounds like, honestly, like he was the best veteran leader player ever, and he did it not conspicuously like Carlos Correa in his contract year when he'd always be the guy. Remember Carlos Correa in his contract year? Like, I'm going to go talk to the young pitcher.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well,
very animatedly,
ostentatious
in the middle of the field, the mound, making sure, double-checking to see if the red light was on the camera.
Yeah.
Which camera is it? And he's like, point that one.
All these stories about what an incredible leader Correa was all came out in his contract here. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But with Bregman, it's all this behind-the-scenes stuff, like with DiCenzo.
So you're going to miss that.
I'm going to miss that. It makes me miss Alex Bregman a little bit.
He went 3-for-3 with a home run and a double yesterday.
Yeah.
He had a good game.
Day.
He had a good game.
Sullivan, too.
But as you pointed out, no, Bregman, Sullivan for the Astros,
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I was thinking, DiCenzo. DiCenzo had two hits yesterday.
DiCenzo
right?
had a good day, too. Yeah, I was talking about Bregman, sorry. Yeah. Pronouns. Yeah. So, Bregman had a good day. DiCenzo did, too. The Astros were out eating lunch yesterday when we got here, me and Parker and Spo, and every time we looked at our phones, the Astros are scoring runs on the St. Louis minor leaguers. It was fun. All right, so depressed about Bregman. What else are you depressed about, young Seth?
I'm depressed about those concessions that they're making to move Altuve to the outfield. I'm excited about Altuve in the
Jeremy
outfield.
Jeremy Pena needs to stand 10 feet from him on the relay.
I don't like hearing Espada say, hey, don't worry, we got Jake Myers who's got a lot of range in center field. We're like, we know he has a lot of range.
Yeah.
He's lost at the plate.
The Pena one's the interesting one to me.
Yeah.
Jeremy, get out there. No further, Jeremy. Get closer to him. Get closer to him. It's Altuve relaying it, Jeremy. You got no closer.
It's like saying Altuve's moving into pro bowling, but he's going to have to use bumpers.
Yes.
That's
what it's like.
he's pretty good as long as he's got the bumpers there.
Yes.
Because at the same time, they're telling us, hey, Altuve's arm is stronger than you think. I know he had the second weakest arm in the infield last year, but in the outfield, it's a little bit different. He'll be just fine. Hey, why is Pena 40 feet into the outfield for this cutoff?
It's like every outfielder in Major League Baseball is playing pro golf, and Altuve's out there playing putt-putt. Throw it through the clown's mouth, Jose. Throw it through the alligator's mouth.
I see Altuve basically screaming for help on some of the short fly balls.
That is a little depressing. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. What's your third one?
Just how hard I'm having to work to talk myself into Jake Myers and Chaz McCormick, which I'm doing. Read these, but then again, conflicting stories. You'll hear somebody say, like, well, yeah, Jake Myers has worked on his swing and he's figured a
Jake
few
Myers
things out.
Jake Myers has lost offensively.
He's worked out a few things, and then they ask Jake Myers, what did you work on? He's like, just a bunch of the same old.
Yeah. Jake Myers, it's going to have to be, like, they're an imperfect team.
Yeah.
This is one of the concessions you're going to have to make is that Jake Myers is your starting center fielder, and he sucks at hitting. It's just how it is. Now, Chaz has done it before.
Chaz
was banged up last year.
Right. Yeah, I think that last year it's easy to look. If you want to soothe your brain a little bit, just make it simple and look at Chaz's stats over his four seasons.
Yeah.
And on the sum total of it all, he's a slightly above average hitter in the major leagues. It's just that last year was so bad. But if I'm trying to be as nerdy baseball about it as possible, or act like the baseball people do, which is you look at the sum total of things and what a guy is historically, one season doesn't usually, good or bad, really affect who that guy is. So I hopefully we can just look back and wipe last year off as just a miserable year for Chaz.
You make an Arenado trade and Chaz gets back to just being like, mid-high 700s OPS guy.
Yeah,
that's a good lineup. I mean, that's eight. That's you got eight qualified big league hitters and Jake Myers.
It's like having Mariznick out there. You know, they did some good things with Mariznick in the outfield.
And the fact that you have Yiner Diaz as your catcher, like there's not a lot of catchers that hit like Yiner.
Yeah.
So you're like that is sort of an underplayed thing. Like, okay, compared to the big league average at these positions, we're this, we're that.
First base and catcher, you got a little bit of an up that is a little secret hidden up.
Now that you got Walker at first base,
So, well, especially in comparison to last year.
Compared to last year. And yeah, but I'm saying Yiner compared to the rest of baseball.
Yeah.
He's a top five offensive catcher for sure. All right, man. Well, so are you more amped about the things you're amped about than you are depressed about the things you're depressed about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. The depression is just, that's always there.
Yeah.
There's always some things you're a little bit sad about.
Team's never
perfect.
That's
life, man.
Team's never perfect.
Without a little bit of anxiety, what are you even here for?
We got a text here. Mentioned this earlier that I got my check from the unclaimed property office, mm-hmm. $297. Text message. Guys, I did the unclaimed property fund thing last week. Got back $300, roughly, between myself and my wife, thanks to you guys. Payne and Pendergast, providing financial tips, life advice, and questionable sports takes.
That's good. Yeah.
Put that on a T-shirt.
I think we probably, in the aggregate, have probably already put, I would say, conservatively, $200,000 into people's pockets?
$1,500 in a certain person sitting at this table.
Yeah, our boss got $1,500 back from some weird shenanigans in Colorado.
Yeah, I don't
somebody
know what
had screwed
into.
Him over.
Yeah.
And so I conservatively, honestly, probably at least $20,000.
Probably.
Because we've gotten the people that have reached out to us and told us.
Unclaimed
that.
Property, man. Go Google it. Yeah. Go get yourself paid.
And if you've done it in the past, do it again. Because I got a few hundred dollars a few years ago, and then I just did the search the other day, and I've got another $250 coming to me.
Mine was $177 2 years ago, but I got frustrated with the data entry and whatnot. So then Amy went and looked it up like 2 weeks ago, she's like, you know, you have almost $300 in there now. I'm like, yeah, but I got, you know how I get. If I can't fill something out in the first 15 seconds, I'm just like, screw this. I'm not doing it. She's like, all right, fine. I'll do it. And literally like 2 minutes later, I get an email like, you've been approved.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know. My wife's smarter than me. It's depressing. That's depressing to me.
But that's why you're good at sales, is that you like seeing the compensation immediately.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I want to find out about that. You know, I want to make this deal now.
I'm a little administratively challenged.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, sometimes, yeah, there's all kinds of things. Sean, I'm sitting on a tax refund deal from, well, 2022.
Yeah.
I had to revise some things, and I'm basically sitting on $15,000 that I'm going to get back because I was too lazy to find the receipts I needed to back in the day.
Okay.
I would
fill out that paper.
And yeah, because that's like 6 weeks off into the future. I'm kind of like, I don't know. I gotta look into some of these minor leaguers.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations, man.
You should be ashamed of me because it was $15,000 that I should have had two years ago.
Oh, yeah, get a little bit of interest off of that.
I got audited for 2022, and lo and behold, it turns out, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make out like a bandit on this audit.
Oh, take that, IRS. I love you.
My account's awesome. I've been audited twice and gotten refunds back both times.
Really?
And before everybody at home says like, "Well, you withheld to it." No. It was because I hadn't found receipts that I needed to find.
When did you find?
So
this?
When I get audited, then I get scared.
Yeah.
And then I actually go digging.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh yes, of course, yes."
Has he been your accountant since you were a player?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good. So you found somebody. Trust them, and they're awesome.
Oh, yeah, and he's, like, aggressive, but knows exactly what he's doing. Like, he does. I've never gotten in trouble for any of the things he's done. And, like, I've been audited twice and gotten bigger refunds each time.
That's beautiful, man. That is nice. You know what? This is a good segue into acknowledgement.
You know what happened 1 year, Sean?
Go ahead.
Hey, this is a good segue. Let me capsize that segue.
What happened?
They were going through and auditing professional athletes specifically. Yeah. They targeted us. They were doing a study because they didn't know like what business expenses were and everything for justifiable. And my guy got me cleared on all my business expenses.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Ah, beautiful. All right, well, let's acknowledge Seth's accountant.
Rich Gruber.
Yeah.
He's out of Fort Lauderdale. I'm meeting with him Friday night.
Are you really?
After you guys leave.
Talk about your business?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Well, my audit.
Yeah. That'll be a fun dinner.
I'm coming out like a champ on this audit.
That's beautiful. All right, so we're acknowledging, what's his name,
Rich Gruber.
Let's acknowledge him again, Seth, or Ben.
Acknowledge
him.
Here
we go. Let's acknowledge Payne and Pendergast for getting everybody paid out of that unclaimed property fund.
Acknowledge me.
Yeah, we're acknowledging ourselves. All right, now some sports acknowledgments. Let's acknowledge the Cougs.
Acknowledge me.
Big win over Iowa State on Saturday. They had College Game Day in town. So that was exciting, seeing College Game Day, seeing all the, you know, all the fun and frivolity out there at the Fertitta Center. That was
Tank
good.
Tank Dell and Case Keenum were out there.
Were they?
They were sitting courtside.
Coug legends.
Yeah.
Do you do the same thing I do every time I see Tank Dell? I'm like, okay, how's he look? Is he like? I know he's still on those tiny little crutches, but is he like?
Tiny little crutches. You mean just like the hand crutches?
Like the hand crutches. Yeah, yeah.
They're not tiny because
not tiny
he's tiny.
He's small. No, they're tinier than normal crutches.
Yeah.
But is he in good spirits? How's he moving? You know,
he looked happy in the little shot I saw of him and him and Case cheering.
That's good. Were they sitting with each other or were they just both in the game?
Yeah, it looked like it.
Okay.
Unless that was a special moment of the game or something. It looked like they were sitting in the second row.
They got paid a pretty nice compliment too, the Cougs, by Danny Hurley, the coach of the UConn Huskies, who have not been as dominant this year, even close, as they've been the last 2 years when they've won the national championship. Rick Pitino's St. John's team is really good this year. And Hurley and UConn got blown out by them this weekend. And Hurley, after the game, said that St. John's reminds me of Houston with what they do to you defensively and on the glass. I'm stunned that we were able to out-rebound them again, but we made up for it by turning the ball over 18 times. Hurley's the best.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool, I thought. Like, Houston, like, just out of nowhere. They're not even in the same conference or anything. Just getting some love from Danny Hurley, so that was pretty cool.
It's gotten to the point now where there's a draft prospect whose name is Kelvin, and I realized, like, I have a better – I realized I had to – Kelvin Sampson, his – Kelvin Sampson has put such a shine on that name.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, wait a second, I don't think I like this kid as much as I thought I did.
That's right. That's
I'm
right.
just skewed by him being named Kelvin.
You got a big, big
it
name.
It just seems like he's going to play, if he's going to play football the way Kelvin Sampson coaches, then hell yes, that's what I
that's
want.
That's right. All right, James Trafford.
Acknowledge me!
Who is he? He's the goalkeeper for Burnley. Burnley is the English Premier League team, who I think was relegated out of the Premier League. J.J. Watt's team. It's the team J.J. Yeah. Watt owns. And apparently, and we may have talked about this on the show, like Trafford tweeted at J.J. Watt that he wanted him to come back and play for the Bengals because the Bengals is Trafford's favorite football team. And J.J. said that he would suit up for the Bengals if Trafford didn't allow any more goals this season. That was with about 20-some-odd games, matches left in the season. Since then, 13 straight clean sheets, they
call
it. Basically, 13 straight shutouts.
Wow.
By James Trafford,
yeah.
between the pipes, they've got 12 matches left still.
Mm-hmm.
But that would
be—he's already demonstrated that he can do it.
He's halfway there.
Oh.
He's done it 13 straight. He needs to do it 12
what's
more.
If that happens, what's most likely, that JJ earnestly comes back and plays for the Bengals, or signs a one-day contract and has the Bengals cut him? I feel like
he's definitely not coming back to play.
He might. He'd suit up. He says he'd suit up.
He'd suit up.
I bet he'd come back for one practice or something.
That'd be a fun gimmick.
It'd be awesome if he went for one practice in the OTAs and he tore his ACL. And then
he's your friend.
Right. No, yeah, but no, he'd be fine with it. He can do the rehab. But he'd have to the Bengals would have to pay him. They'd
oh,
have to
yeah,
put him on
true.
IR.
That's true. Oh, God, that'd be funny.
You know, yeah, they would have to do, they'd have to say, look, this is a publicity stunt. You go ahead and pay this insurance policy.
Yeah.
Which, because I don't know why. Well, definitely the Bengals don't do it. You can actually get cap money back when you have the insurance policy
right.
on the player.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that if the goalie does pull it off, I do think JJ does some kind of a publicity stunt with the Bengals where he suits up for him. For
sure, it won't die.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Like they'll do something. They'll do something. All right, now it gets a little saucier. Tony Martinez.
Acknowledge me.
This Tony Martinez. He's a husband of a woman.
For now.
For now. Whose name is Nicole Martinez.
Yeah.
If you're following social media at all this week, and this story probably popped up on your timeline, we can read exactly, let me count, the zero of the texts that are in any of the screen grabs between Nicole Martinez and Steve Smith Sr., former wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers and the Baltimore Ravens, current NFL Network analyst, current podcast co-host with James Palmer, our good friend. If you were on social media at all and this didn't cross your radar, then I really wonder what the algorithm is doing with you, because Nicole Martinez is a member of the Marching Ravens, which I guess is part of their spirit squad before games.
Yeah.
Steve Smith Sr. is married with four kids. They had an affair. They slept with each other. And Tony Martinez, husband of Nicole Martinez, not only found out, but he went viral. He posted a bunch of screen grabs of texts between Steve Smith and Nicole Martinez. He posted a video of him calling Steve Smith on the phone to verbally confront him over this. A lot of awkward silence on the other end of things. The only two words uttered by Steve Smith in the whole conversation were, "I'm sorry," at one point in the middle of it. It's about as awkward as it gets. I've seen reactions to this ranging from, you know, Steve Smith is a slime ball, to Tony Martinez is a clout chaser. I guess.
I don't know if he's a clout. He's a clout. The only way he could be a clout chaser on this is if this was all planned between him and his wife to set Steve Smith up or
something.
To look
bad, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
and,
like,
then,
no.
And then try to get famous based off of that.
Most guys are embarrassed by something like this and don't want to put
I think he's
out.
Lashing out, and it's as simple. You don't have to overthink this.
No.
He's lashing out.
No.
He wants to damage both Steve Smith and his future ex-wife.
If this type of story is something that you're not all that fond of, don't go find the text. If you like this kind of social media drama, this is pretty good.
I didn't know anything about this, Sean.
Yeah.
You just, as you insulted anybody that might not know anything about this, I didn't know anything about this until I came in and sat down on my
But it crossed your radar.
it crossed my radar. Yeah. I had seen there was something going on with Steve Smith.
Yeah.
But I just kind of like, I've been trying to just stick to just reported stories and everything so I don't go down rabbit holes on social
media. Yeah.
So I didn't know what the hell was going on. I figured I'd read about it at some point in the headline.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's in the headlines this morning. But I sat down last night and you're like, hey, Steve Smith.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, did he say creepy things to Bryce Young again?
No, he didn't. Well, yeah, let's refresh here. Now, like, to Steve Smith, you know, so this is, I don't know how old Nicole Martinez is. Steve Smith has been out of football for a while. This was Steve Smith gushing over Bryce Young. What's more uncomfortable, the texts that are out there between Steve Smith and Nicole Martinez, the phone call between the husband and Steve Smith, or this bit of audio from the Alabama workout 2 years ago when Steve Smith is gushing over Bryce Young?
Everything that I've seen out of there, for me, I've seen bigger, more athletic quarterbacks not be able to anticipate the throw. That's not a knock on anybody, so before people start tweeting, you know who I'm talking about. I'm just talking overall in this evaluation process of a guy who's smaller in the measurables but has the heart and the desire to play. Man, I just sat there and watched you, and I'll be 44 years old. I could have got out there and ran those routes. Just the way you were guiding the ball, it was remarkable. I mean, I'm just like, I can lace him up. I can't do nothing, but it just sure looked good watching it, man. What a wonderful, wonderful display of why you deserve to be the first overall quarterback to be picked in this year's draft.
I really appreciate it. That means the world, especially coming from you.
That was just dripping with innuendo.
Yeah, man.
He talked to Nicole Martinez that same way.
I think he probably did. Yeah.
And a lot, just like Bryce Young, a lot of people are saying about this young lady that she doesn't necessarily meet all the physical standard physical measurables of what you might expect of an NFL quarterback or of a Steve Smith.
No.
The fling. This is some ugly stuff, man. This is some ugly, ugly stuff. These texts and whatnot, they're bad.
They're bad. They're bad. Well, they're dirty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're dirty.
Nobody looks good in this.
No.
Now, if we find out that the husband's a real jerk. That doesn't. Steve Smith.
Maybe.
Steve Smith's mean you're screwed no matter what because he's married with kids.
He's married. Well, he had this affair and then, like, according to the internet, like, a few weeks later, posted his Christmas card on there with his wife and four kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's screwed either way. So, yeah.
I feel like Steve Smith Sr. is one of the athletes I would least like my wife to have an affair with. If I had to find out my wife was having an affair, whereas...
Yeah, because if you wanted to do something about it, he's someone who would scrap, probably.
I don't know. I feel like he might have sounded genuinely pretty bad about being caught.
He did. Knowing now what we know, he was pretty... Yeah.
I think more about just the whole... Steve Smith, I've always liked him, but there's a part of it where you're like, man, all right, oh, that's who you're going to cheat on me with. Like, oh, you want to, apparently I need to act more like Steve Smith or something.
Yeah.
There's like, because there's some athletes, like, who's the Houston athlete that a Houston sports fan would be most forgiving of if they found out his wife was having an affair with him?
Jose Altuve. Altuve for sure.
I can't be mad at you,
no,
Jose.
No.
We'll keep this between you and me.
You can text me right now.
Yeah, I was just like, listen, Jose, it's cool. Like,
it's fine.
I prefer that you not do it again.
Yeah.
I prefer. Yeah.
You're probably going to get a few mulligans if we're being honest, Jose. Yeah.
Who's the least favorite? Who's the one you would most want?
You know what?
Why is it Carlos Gomez?
I don't know. That's out of nowhere. Drive by a Carlos Gomez. You know what? I think the athletes that would bother me the most would be if they're really corny. Like, really?
Oh,
that guy?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he counts as Houston, but like RG3. Like, RG3 is so corny. I'm like, really? Like, that guy talked you into it?
He's really funny.
No, he's not.
He's funny. He's really funny. He's deep.
No, Sean, he's
deep. He's not like you.
See, now you're making me mad. This hasn't even happened as far as I know.
Wait, what about the corny Astros player, the pitcher that you...
Oh, Joe Biagini.
Joe Biagini. If Amy was like, I've met somebody, and he speaks to me in a way that the earth moves beneath
now
me.
Now I'm hot.
He does shadow puppets, Sean. When have you ever done shadow puppets with me?
He's the worst. That's it. That's the answer right there. Joe Biagini. All right, text in 713-572-4610.
Which Houston athlete, historically or current, would you be most forgiving of, and which one would you hate
most? That's right. Text in 713-572-4610. That's a little segment we call Acknowledge Me. All right, up next, mock draft injection. CBSSports.com's Tyler Sullivan. Who does he have going to the Texans? This is one that I know people near the somebody near the Texans really likes this guy that they have going in this mock draft. So mock draft injection, we do it every day at 7:45. Stay there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Radio 610 presents live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Indeed, it is Payne and Pendergast live in West Palm Beach. A rainy West Palm Beach today. It's coming down pretty good out there today. So we will keep an eye on things over at the Astros facility. Cacti, what's it called?
Cacti again? Park of the
beaches. Yes. Of the beaches, yes. So we'll Adam Spolane's actually over there right now getting audio from the clubhouse and whatnot. I imagine we'll hear from Spo and hear from some of the Astros in the clubhouse. But again, big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us here.
This is basically, even though the game wouldn't be going on right now, it feels a little bit like when there's a rain delay and during a normal TV broadcast and they've just got to sit up there and do a talk radio
chop
show for a while.
Yeah.
some of them are better than others.
I was going to say, yeah, some of them, you can tell some of them are a little nervous. Like, is the rain going to stop anytime soon?
It is a big, I mean, it's a huge difference in format, obviously.
Yeah.
You got the game to keep things moving along.
Although, yes.
Jim Crane was up in the booth, in the radio booth a couple days ago.
He was.
And he was, I thought it was a good, I can't remember what Chandler, how Chandler Rome phrased it. That he had made it, the quote was that we made what we thought was aggressive or a good offer to Bregman. Alex Bregman, mm-hmm. which I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Whatever the actual quote was. And I thought it wasn't an insult. That was not an insult of an offer the way some people had portrayed it originally.
No, not especially when you see what the offers were that came out. Like, I feel like every team's, unlike maybe some of the other journeys into free agency that before, where we only knew the final offer that we only knew the one that the player accepted. Like, we knew Springer took 6 years, 150 from the Blue Jays. Correa, you know, he had his whole journey through two free agencies. This one, I feel like we were really well informed on what everybody was offering in the end. There were four teams left.
Yeah.
The Astros offered 156 over six. The Tigers offered 170 over six. The Cubs offered 115 over four, and he ultimately took $120 million for 3 years from
right.
the Red Sox.
So it was a much, it was the Astros offer wasn't anywhere close on the average per year,
right.
but it was more guaranteed money,
yeah.
and it was in line with what the other conventional deals that had been offered
Absolutely.
Were.
Absolutely. It was not a low ball offer. That was a reason, especially when you consider how long it took Bregman to get those offers. He did that interview on that one podcast, that Section 10 podcast.
It all came down to the last, the wire there, where everything was kind of a flurry right before spring
yeah,
training.
It sounded like it was dry, and then all of a sudden these teams just
yeah.
We're all like descending on him within 30 minutes of each other. So I have zero issue with how the Astros handled Alex Bregman's free agency. Zero. All right, let's do this mock draft. This is a CBSSports.com mock draft. This is Tyler Sullivan. We may have done one of his before, but this is a new one kind of heading into the combine version. So he's made some tweaks and whatnot here. So let's page down to the 25th pick. With the 25th overall pick in the Tyler Sullivan CBSSports.com mock draft, the Houston Texans select Gray Zabal, offensive lineman, North Dakota State. And quote for Gray Zabal, or quote from Ryan Wilson, who's one of CBS Sports draft experts, said, quote, played tackle this season at college. He's played everywhere in college. Played inside at the Senior Bowl at guard and center and looked like he'd been doing it his entire life. This is one player, Seth, who got rave reviews at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and I think that does a lot of things that you want an interior offensive lineman to do that scratch a niche from what we saw with the Texans last year. All right, he responds to stunts and twists really well and knows how to sort things out. That mental side of being scrappy and on the inside, he's got all of that. I think he's certainly physically capable of playing. A lot of it is the stuff that, and especially playing at North Dakota State, isn't going to get exposed as much as just overall technique and bending at the waist. Some of that stuff he's got to clean up and get better at. But there's certainly a lot to like. This would be a surprise just because of what we talked about earlier. So far, Nick Caserio has only taken guys from bigger schools. Tank Dell is the only exception to the non-Power 5 conference was Tank Dell getting drafted the year before Houston became a Power 5 conference.
Yeah, that's right.
So it would be a stretch for anything Nick Caserio said. And because of that, because I do think there's some substance in Nick preferring to have a large sample size of work against better competition. Because there's so many interior offensive linemen that look like they're probably late first-round or second-round guys this year, I'll be surprised if it's Gray Zabal just because of the Texans' history with guys like that.
So this would be one of those drafts. Oh, I bet the player you're talking about, the Kelvin, is Kelvin Banks.
Yes, that's right.
That's who you were talking about. Because of the guys who we've seen go off the board to the Texans in previous mock draft injections that we've done here on Payne and Pendergast, this would be one of those drafts that if you and I were sitting with each other, Seth, if Tyler Sullivan's draft were the actual draft, there'd be a lot of, like a lot of guys. Banks goes off the board, Membu at 9, Membu goes off from Armand Membu from Missouri at 10, Luther Burden, also from Missouri, goes off at 13, Grant, your guy, Kenneth Grant from Michigan, goes off the board at 17. Tyler Booker goes off the board at 18. So this is a draft where we're seeing a lot of guys that we've seen mocked to the Texans at 25 go off the board pretty early. The exception is that there's still a couple of receivers still sitting there in Matthew Golden and Emeka Obuka at 25.
I think that this draft is, I think it's going to end up being one that if the Texans stick at 25, which is a huge if, because we know that Caserio loves to move a lot
he does.
Within the draft. But it's just kind of played out that a lot of the positions of need might also, there might be a player in one of those positions who's genuinely the best player available by various boards. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, I don't think it's going to feel like a compromise or that the Texans would have preferred to move. I think if they stand pat at 25, they might get a best player available that's also at a position of need.
I think if he moves back.
Yeah.
Is if I had to guess.
Yeah, there's going to be one of those groups, either offensive linemen or offensive linemen or wide receivers, I think, in particular, that there's still a good chunk of them out there.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Let's go to the text page here. This is in the spirit of Steve Smith Sr. having an affair with a marching Ravens Spirit Squad member who was married. Both of them are married. You asked the question, who is the athlete that you would forgive if they had an affair with your wife?
Or you'd feel most capable of forgiving and then which one would you hate the most if he had an affair with your wife?
Text message, Jim Adler, Texas Hammer, text line. J.J. Watt's getting some love for forgiveness on here from a few people. Is James Harden getting the hate side of a lot of people.
just for the communicable disease part of it alone. just the whole 6 degrees of separation there. Who knows what kind of microbiota.
I feel like Harden would be real lazy, too. I'd be like, hey, if you're going to do it, at least satisfy her.
Okay? I would be more forgiving of Altuve than I would of J.J. Watt. I think partly because J.J.'s a very calculating person, you know, in terms of just seems like he's always got a plan for how and why he's doing. Whereas Altuve is just, if anything, my wife talked him into it, you know, like she's the villain here.
Right.
Altuve's so just like pure and innocent that, yes, I would be forgiving of both of them, but mostly more Altuve.
I'd lose it if Brock Osweiler had an affair with my wife. These are text messages. I mean, I would too, but these just want to be clear. These are text messages. I would forgive Jeremy Pena. I would hate Davis Mills.
Boy,
he's got a neck fetish.
Yeah, tough one with Davis Mills.
Davis Mills.
You'd forgive Jeremy Pena. Well, Pena, you know what it is? He's young.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, so depending on how old you are, I feel like if you're, let's say I would never have, I'm lucky. I would never have to worry about my wife. But let's say I did. If my wife, and I'm 50, has an affair with a young guy like Jeremy Pena, you're mad at your wife, not Jeremy Pena. You're like, yeah, he's a 23-year-old kid.
Right.
Yeah, what's he supposed to, I'm going to be mad. If him, I'd be like, hey, man, just in the future, other guys might shoot you for something like this. Just be smart about it, okay, Jeremy?
Olajuwon, I forgive you. Mike Fiers, I want a divorce. Fiers is a good one. Fiers is a good one. I don't know that there's a better
Fiers.
One. You bring it up Joe Biagini, though. Because at least with all these other guys, it's like, all right, well, they're big time athletes and multimillionaires or whatever.
Yeah.
Like Biagini,
she might as well sleep with Carrot Top.
Yes. Oh my God. All right, we're getting some good texts. Some of them I can't read. Some of them I got to bounce off the crew here at our palatial estate
during
the break.
Yeah, let's not get canceled.
Yeah. All right. Keep texting them in, though. We're getting a kick out of them here on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. All right, up next, let's circle back to the Astros. We're live here. Spring baseball going on. We thank Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us here all week long. Raining out right now, so hopefully a game today. If not, we'll have you covered all day and all week long. We're still jumping on with the other shows and talking some Stros with them. To which I say, for the Astros, there's a list that came out from MLB.com, and I am shocked that Jordan Alvarez is not on this
list. Yes, I saw this list, Sean.
Yes, I am shocked and stunned that there's no Jordan. Good, I'm glad you got
this. I'm mad about a couple of the other selections, too. I'll tell you that much, my friend.
Same, good. Okay, you're going to get a fired-up Seth Payne in the next segment.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.